This film has been modified from its original version. It has been formatted to fit this screen. Now, in a black sky, a sliver of sunlight crests the Earth. Rays of light shoot off the continents, and a three-dimensional word orbits the planet. Universal. Words appear. www.universalstudios.com. Now, in another logo, a fishing bobber drops into a pool of blue water which reflects a crescent moon. Our view soars up into the sky where a boy sits on the moon's edge holding a fishing pole. Amid billowy clouds, we float past giant block letters, DreamWorks SKG. Now, a shaky yellowish home movie shows a young blonde woman reading in bed. Titles appear. Universal Pictures and DreamWorks Pictures present a Nancy Tenenbaum production, a Tribeca production. On a carousel, the woman holds out her hand. A Jay Roach film. Now, another hand holds hers as she walks through a mall. More titles. Robert De Niro as Jack, Ben Stiller as Greg. Meet the parents. Now, a blurry sunflower pulls away from our view, revealing the woman on a windowsill. In another room, she holds an ice cream cone in front of her white-smeared lips and smiles. More titles. Blythe Danner. Terry Polo. James Rebhorn. John Abrahams. Phyllis George. Callie Rocha. Thomas McCarthy. Nicole DeHuff. And Owen Wilson. Now, the woman puckers her lips at the camera. Now, in clear color, we steadily glide over Lake Michigan toward Navy Pier and the Chicago skyline. More titles. Music by Randy Newman, A Fool in Love, written and performed by Randy Newman. The twin antennas of the Sears Tower stand high over the city. A boat cruises down the Chicago River, and an elevated train heads across a platform over an awning that reads Chicago Medical. More titles. Associate producers Greg Gliena, Emo Phillips, and Jim Vincent. In a hospital room, two clear IV bags hang from a metal stand. Underneath, a computer monitor displays an ECG reading.
I know we haven't been together that long, but these last 10 months have just been the happiest of my life. You're not only the person I love, you're also my best friend. And I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
Wearing hospital scrubs, Greg kneels by a bed.
Will you marry me?
An old man answers.
Yes.
Seriously, do you think that sounds good?
No.
Really? Because I think that kind of sums up
everything. No!
Greg checks his hands.
Oh, sorry. Sometimes these catheters can pinch a little bit.
He shakes a thin tube.
Well, thanks for listening. I really appreciate it.
You got a real gentle touch there, Doctor. She won't be able to say no.
Actually, I'm a nurse. Doctor will be right in.
Greg ditches his rubber gloves and heads to a reception area.
Good luck, Greg.
Thanks, Cam.
Good luck, buddy.
Now the words Harmony School are painted on a window above a building's front doors. Inside, the blonde woman paces.
Okay, it's time for our problem of the week.
Children sit around her.
I want you to pick out your problem, the problem that's been bothering you all week, with your eyes so closed. I want you to picture that problem in your mind. Pretend that it's right there in front of you.
Now, outside.
Not only are you my best friend, but you're also the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with. I love you. Will you?
He puffs a cigarette.
Marry me?
He kneels.
Now I want you to scare your problems away. I want you to say boo.
Boo!
Boo!
The kids shake their hands in the air.
All right, you guys are great. Very good. I will see you guys after lunch, all right?
Hey, PM, isn't that your special friend outside?
She points out the window at Greg.
Yeah, I think so.
Why don't you go towards him?
You think you should?
Yeah!
Greg rises from his knee and waves. Pam steps out of the building.
Come here.
Inside, the kids carry cards to the window.
Hi, sweetie.
How you doing?
What's going on?
I just was in the neighborhood, got off work a little early, thought maybe you wanted to go get a bite to eat or something.
Oh, that's very sweet. What a nice surprise. What?
Oh, shoot. I forgot to change my shoes.
That's okay. You don't have to change. You know I can't resist a man in nurse's shoes.
I know, but I got my sneakers in my backpack. I'm just gonna change. It'll just take a second.
Okay.
Behind her, the kids line up in the window.
Pam.
Yeah?
I love you.
I love you too.
The kids each hold up a letter spelling Yamarep. Thinking fast, Greg hugs Pam.
What are you doing?
He signals and the kids scramble.
Nothing. I just love you so much. These last 10 months have been the happiest of my life.
Yeah, they've been amazing. What's going on?
Nothing. I just
now they spell
feel like,
marry
you know,
me
so
map.
Close. You're my best friend, and you're also the woman that I love. And
he shakes his head.
Are you okay, sweetie? You're acting so weird.
I'm fine. I just got a crick in my neck. I was doing CPR on a 300-pound crack at it this morning.
The kids switch places, and the cards read, "Marry me, Pam."
Honey, look, your kids. They're trying to tell you something.
What?
Look.
Oh, hold on. Oh, it's my sister. Hello? Hi.
Greg holds up a finger, signaling the kids to wait.
You're engaged? That's wonderful. Congratulations. Oh, my God, you're getting married in 2 weeks. It's a little soon, isn't it? Wow, Mom and Dad really don't know Bob very well. Dad was okay with this?
Greg looks up quizzically.
Wow, that was very thoughtful of him. I can't believe he knew to ask Dad's permission.
Greg stands and waves the kids away.
No, I'm just here with Greg. He's going to take me out for lunch. He's okay. Okay, I know you got to go. All right, I love you. Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
So what's going on? What, Debbie's marrying that guy?
Yeah, in 2 weeks. Dr. Bob of Denver. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's... Didn't they just meet like a few months ago?
Well, yeah, but, you know, he asked her and she said yes. Actually, he asked my dad. He said yes, and then he asked Debbie.
Huh. Yeah, I overheard that. So what, like he had asked his permission? Or...
Well, no, he didn't have to. Bob just understood that Dad appreciates that kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Deb said that Dad's crazy about him. Evidently, Bob bought him like the perfect gift that just won him over, you know?
Really? Huh, a gift.
2 weeks later, at an airport.
Are you sure it's okay to x-ray this?
Yeah, it's not gonna mutate or anything.
A gift box runs through a security x-ray. Greg tries stuffing in his bag next.
Sir, that's not gonna fit.
Wait, hang on a second.
The bag's too big, guy. You gotta check it.
Greg walks through a metal detector.
Over here. Raise your arms, sir.
I've got an engagement ring for my girlfriend in the bag, so I can't really open it here. So don't you think I can maybe just carry it on?
Hey, pal, if it ain't fitting true to frame, you ain't carrying it on the plane. 531, New York LaGuardia.
A skycap takes the suitcase away.
Excuse me.
Don't worry, pal. I'll be waiting for you any other sake.
Later, their plane lands. At the baggage claim, Greg and Pam wait by an empty carousel. Later, Greg sidles through a crowded room. He stands at the counter next to a woman holding a baby and faces a clerk.
Excuse me. Hi. You lost my bag, and there's a 2-carat diamond ring inside it.
I didn't lose your anything, sir. But put your local address on this form, and we'll ship it when it surfaces.
And what if it doesn't? Am I supposed to spend the entire weekend with just the clothes on my back?
The baby spits up on him. Now he and Pam ride in a green sedan.
It's a great gift. I just thought you were going to get them champagne.
Trust me, I think your dad is going to be very psyched about this gift.
Well, don't forget he's retired, though.
The guy was in the rare flower business for 30 years. I think he still maintains an interest.
Pam cocks her head.
Well, you make it seem like they're really hard to please.
No, not at all. He's the sweetest man in the whole world. Just relax. He's going to love you, I promise.
As much as he loves Dr. Bob.
Take it easy on the sarcasm. Humor is entirely wasted on my parents.
What, are they Amish?
As they arrive at Pam's house, a stern man eyes them through a window.
Okay, no jokes.
Greg pockets a pack of cigarettes.
What are you doing?
What?
I told you my dad sees smoking as a sign of weakness.
Okay, all right, I'll leave him in the car.
No, he'll check there. Oh, gosh.
What?
Pam chucks the pack onto the roof of the 2-story colonial house.
Yeah, the roof is probably a better idea.
Hey. Oh, and, we're not living together.
I thought you said you told them.
Well,
the stern man steps outside.
Hi, Daddy!
Hi. Oh, I missed you so much.
I missed you too, Flapjack.
Mm-hmm. Greg stands beside the car as Pam wraps her legs around her father's waist and lets him spin her around.
Oh boy.
Shorts that coming up.
They slap their hands together in a routine.
Where's my little girl?
Hey, Mommy!
Hello, Mom.
Beautiful.
Oh, so do you. Oh. Look at you. Oh, I'm sorry. Mom, Dad, this is Greg.
Hi, Greg. I'm Pam's father, Jack Burns.
Yeah, it's great to finally meet you.
Good meeting you.
I'm Dina. Welcome to Oyster Bay.
Thank
Greg.
You.
Oh. As Pam's mother shakes his hand, Greg awkwardly gives her a hug.
What are you driving there, Ford?
Oh, yeah, it's a Taurus. Yeah, we were gonna get a mid-size, but I figure, hey, I'm pulling down decent bucks. Might as well go all out, pop for the full size.
Sure. Oh. Interesting color, you pick it?
Oh, no, the guy at the counter. Why?
No, they say geniuses pick green.
Greg smiles.
But you didn't pick it.
Jack. Oh, yucky. What smells of old sour milk?
Oh, poor Greg got spit up on by a baby.
He didn't.
Yeah,
he did, Ma. At the lost luggage counter, the airline lost his bag.
Oh, they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
What about you, honey?
Oh, no, I carried on.
That's my girl.
It'll turn up, I'm sure. And anyway, Greg, meanwhile, anything you need, just ask, huh?
That's right. Mi casa y su casa.
Oh, thanks, Jack. You too.
Jack puts his arm around Greg and directs him and the others inside. He then looks around suspiciously as he wipes his feet.
Oh, good. We spruced up for the wedding.
This is so nice.
We like it.
Beautiful.
Oh, now, Greg, you have a very unique last name. And we were curious, how do you pronounce it?
Oh, just like it's spelled. F-O-C-K-E-R.
Fokker.
Hmm. Fokker. Uh-huh. Hmm.
Pam removes her jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll get it, honey.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
A fluffy Himalayan cat runs in.
Oh, there he is. There's the little guy.
Come here,
boy.
Come here, baby. Come to Daddy, Jinxie. Come on. Come on, Jinxie. Come here.
Jinxie.
Come to Daddy. Come on.
The cat hops into Jack's arms.
Taught him that in 1 week. This is Pam's cat, Jinxie. Jinxie, say hello to Greg.
Hi, Jinx.
Wave to Greg.
Hello, Jinx.
Jinx waves.
Atta boy.
That took me another week.
Oh, my gosh.
Pam, I didn't know you had a cat.
Yeah, I left him here when I moved to Chicago.
Your daddy's found his new best friend.
Really?
Oh. You won't believe it. He even taught him to use the potty.
Did? Yeah, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
What's so weird about it? Now we don't have to smell kitty litter all the time.
That's right.
Right, Jinxie?
That's incredible. So how did you teach the cat to use the toilet?
Well, that was easy, Greg. I just designed a litter box to put inside the toilet, and then once he got used to it, I took it away.
Oh, makes sense.
But I don't think he likes it very much. I mean, every chance he gets, he tries to dick, squat, and bury. I had to move all my potted plants off the floor.
Plus, you got another guy around the house to leave the seat up.
He can't lift the seat, Greg. He lacks the strength and the opposable thumbs.
Yeah.
Ah, right, opposable. Didn't think about that.
Jinx is strictly a house cat. You can't let him outside because he also lacks outdoor survival skills.
Yeah.
That's just one of those things, isn't it, sweetheart?
I don't think Greg will be playing with Jinxie too much. He hates cats.
Pam, I don't hate cats. I don't hate cats. I just happen to be more of a dog lover. That's
all. Dina mouths the words, I am too.
Well, it's okay if you hate cats, Greg.
No, I don't. I don't hate cats at all.
That's okay. Just be honest about it. There's some things I hate.
I'm being honest, really? Like what?
Pam bows her head and scratches between her eyes.
Honey, why don't we let the kids freshen up, huh? Greg, you come with me. We'll get you something to wear from Jack's closet, okay?
All right.
Pam follows.
Okay.
Oh, honey. Yeah? I'm so happy you're home, sweetheart.
Aw, me too, Daddy.
Pam hugs her father warmly.
Hey, listen. Be nice to this one, okay? Kind of like him.
Okay, I'll try.
Thank you.
Pam heads upstairs. Now, Jack stands at a bar in the living room mixing a cocktail in a shaker. Greg enters wearing a flannel shirt.
Shirt fit okay, Greg?
Oh, fantastic. Thanks, Jack.
Good.
Greg approaches Pam.
You know, I wish you hadn't told your parents that I hate cats.
But you do hate cats.
Yeah, but you didn't tell them right when we met.
No, I'm sorry. It just kind of slipped out.
It's your red hot poo-poos.
Dina brings hors d'oeuvres.
My goodness, what is that?
The gift box.
Oh, that's just, little something from me. Go ahead, open it up.
Oh, look, honey, Greg brought us a present.
Oh, isn't that nice?
As Dina unwraps the gift, Jack hands Greg a drink. The two men clink glasses.
Whoa. Oh, look at this. It's a flower pot with the dirt in it.
Hmm.
Actually, the real gift is what's planted in the soil. The bulb of a Jerusalem tulip.
Jack's stern gaze flits between the pot and Greg.
Which I was told is one of the rarest and most beautiful flowers in existence.
Oh, right. The Jerusalem. From the Jerusalis tulipesius genus, yes.
Hmm.
Anyway, the guy said with regular watering, it should bloom in about 6 months, so.
Well, we'll look forward to that, Greg.
Jack pets Jinx in his lap. All four sip their drinks.
So, Greg, how's your job?
Good, Pam. Thanks for asking. I recently got transferred to triage.
Oh, is that better than a nurse? No, Mom, triage is a unit of the ER. It's where all the top nurses work.
Well,
no, they do.
Greg smiles as Pam rubs his back.
Not many men in your profession, though, are they, Greg?
No, Jack. Not traditionally.
Mm-hmm. Jack nods, stone-faced.
Oh, Pam, honey, did you know that your father started his own business?
Really? Dad, that's great.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and I thought with my knowledge and experience, why should I allow retirement to stop me?
I really admire that.
Yeah.
So what is it? What's the new venture?
Well, let me ask you a question, Greg. Let's just say you have kids and you want to get out of the house, spend a night on the town, you know. So you hire a babysitter, someone you think you can trust. References, work experience, it all checks out fine. But then how do you really know for certain that your loved ones are safe with this stranger? I mean, can you ever really trust another human being, Greg?
Greg squints thoughtfully.
Sure, I think so.
No, the answer is you cannot. Let me show you something. Take a look at this, Greg.
He opens a cabinet and pulls out a stuffed animal.
What's this look like to you guys?
Jack tosses it to him.
This looks like a teddy bear.
Smile, you're a nanny camera.
Greg appears on the TV set.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen these things advertised on TV.
Oh, no, not like this you haven't. Take a look.
Now the TV shows Greg and Pam on the couch.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Hi, where's the other camera?
Right here in this decorative artifact.
He points to a statuette on the mantle.
Wow, that's great.
Our cameras are motion activated, so they begin taping as soon as they sense any movement, and we can hide them in anything. We hide them in mirrors, lamps, televisions, you name it. So no matter where you go...
Jack's face appears on the TV.
We'll be watching you.
So, Jack, I mean, couldn't this maybe be construed as illegal, you know, invasion of privacy, or...
Trust me, Greg. When you start having little fuckers running around, you'll understand the need for this level of protection.
As Greg turns the teddy bear in his hands, the TV shows a view up Dina's skirt. He quickly flips the bear over.
Impressive, isn't it?
Quite.
Oh, I'll get that.
I'll get it, honey.
Okay.
In the kitchen, Jack holds a cordless phone to his ear.
Any problem with the documents? Okay, good. I'll meet you at the Oyster Bay drugstore in about 20 minutes. Now, you gotta be more careful when you call here. If anybody else answers, just use a southern accent and ask for the vegetarian special, okay?
He empties a bottle of Tom Collins mix into the sink, then returns to the living room.
Oh, that wasn't the airline, was it?
Nope, wrong number. We're all out of Collins mix, so I'm gonna make a run to the store.
Well, that's funny. I thought I just bought some.
Well, you know how that stuff just goes, so I'll be back in a jiff.
Well, why doesn't Greg go with you?
As Jack purses his lips, Pam turns to Greg.
Sweetie, you'll need something in case your suitcase doesn't show up.
Oh, I'm sure it'll show up. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you don't want to take a chance. You don't even have a toothbrush. Go on, sweetie.
Yeah.
Okay, unless you want some privacy.
Why would I need privacy?
No, I didn't think you would.
Okay, let's head out.
Oh, good.
Greg follows Jack.
Bye. Have fun, you guys. Pam, he seems wonderful.
He is. Aww. We're the best time together.
Good. Now, have you two been...
Mother?
Oh, thinking about anything permanent.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we haven't really discussed it, but I definitely have a feeling this is it. Dad seems to like him, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Now, Jack drives his car as Greg sits in the passenger seat. They both stare straight ahead.
It's a big day, Saturday.
Yes.
It's cars. You got, what do you use? Unleaded? Regular unleaded?
Premium.
Uh-huh.
Greg nods, then glances at Pam's scowling father.
Hey, you know, Jack, now that we have a second to talk, I just want you to know how much Pam means to me. I mean, I know that we haven't been together that long, but... the time that we have spent together has been really incredible.
Greg, how come you don't like cats?
I don't not like cats. I just prefer dogs. I mean, I'm just more of a dog kind of, you know. Come home, they're, you know, wagging their little tails, happy to see you, kind of.
Well, you need that assurance, do you? You prefer an emotionally shallow animal? You see, Greg, when you yell at a dog, his tail will go between his legs and cover his genitals, his ears will go down. A dog is very easy to break. But cats make you work for their affection. They don't sell out the way dogs do.
Greg nods thoughtfully.
Huh.
You like Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Yes, I do. I'm a big fan. It's a great song.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Who would have thought it wasn't really about a dragon, huh?
What do you mean?
You know, the whole drug thing.
No, I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
Some people think that to puff the magic dragon means they're really...
He takes a drag on an imaginary joint.
To smoke a marijuana cigarette.
Well, Puff's just the name of the boy's magical dragon.
Right.
Greg opens his mouth to speak, then stops. Jack glowers.
Are you a pothead, Falker?
No, no. What? No, Jack. No, I'm not. I pass on grass all the time. I mean, not all the time.
Yes or no, Greg?
No, yes, no.
Later, Greg and Jack walk into a store. Its sign reads Oyster Bay Drugs.
So Greg, I'll meet you back out front in about 12 to 15 minutes.
Okay.
Jack watches him walk away until he is out of sight, then slips back out the entrance. Meanwhile, Greg picks up deodorant, a toothbrush, and a few other toiletries. As he winds around the end of an aisle, he notices a shelf stocked with Tom Collins mix.
Oh.
Greg looks around, then heads to a counter.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Do you have any of those, nicotine patches?
No. With the gum.
The droopy-eyed clerk grabs a small box from a shelf.
Right.
You chew it.
Thank you. Yes, okay. And what's your most expensive bottle of champagne?
Mom's. It's on sale for $13.95.
Really? That's it? You don't have, like, a nice, like, $80 or $100 bottle or something?
You can get a whole bunch of Mums.
Greg gapes at him. Now, Greg steps outside and pops a piece of gum in his mouth. Across the parking lot, he spots a tall, silver-haired man in sunglasses who hands Jack some items from a manila envelope. Greg moves past a gumball machine and passes behind a rack of cherry tomato plants. He watches from between two of the shelves. Jack looks around cautiously, then examines a pair of passports. The tall man shakes his hand, then leaves. Greg quickly removes the gum from his mouth and grabs an issue of Modern Mother magazine. As he flips it open, Jack approaches.
Falker?
Hey, Jack. Ready to go?
Well, been ready, yeah. I ran out of Collins mix.
With a forced grin, Jack squints crookedly at Greg.
You been waiting here long?
No, I was just reading up about...
In the magazine, a woman holds pumps to her breasts.
Pumps?
Pumps?
Yes. Breast pumps.
He shows the ad to Jack, who raises his eyebrows.
I grew up on a farm.
Nighttime. Back at the house, Jinx runs downstairs. In the dining room, Dina enters with serving bowls.
Get your hot buns, hot patooties.
Wow, Dina, everything looks fabulous.
Well, I'll tell you something, it's such a treat for me to have a home-cooked meal like this. Dinner at my house usually consisted of everybody in the kitchen fighting over containers of Chinese food.
Oh, you poor thing. What, there wasn't enough food to go around, Greg?
No, there was. We just never really sat down like a family like this.
Oh.
Greg, would you like to say grace?
Greg stops mid-bite into a green bean.
Greg's Jewish, Dad. You know that.
You're telling me the Jews don't pray, honey? Unless you have some objection.
No. No, I'd love to. Pam, come on. It's not like I'm a rabbi or something. I said grace at many a dinner table.
Jack motions to him with open hands. Greg bows his head, awkwardly puts his palms together and curls down his fingers like the other three.
Okay.
His eyes closed, Greg re-straightens his fingers.
Oh, dear God.
He opens his eyes and looks around.
Thank you. You are such a good God.
To us, a kind and gentle and accommodating God. And we thank you, oh sweet, sweet Lord of hosts, for the...
He peeks at the trays of food on the table.
Smorgasbord, you have so aptly lain at our table this day and each day by day.
Pam sneaks a sidelong glance at Greg.
Day by day by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things. We pray.
Jack looks up, frowning.
To love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly.
Jack squints at Greg.
Day by day. By day. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Greg, that was lovely.
Thank you, Greg. That was interesting, too.
They begin eating. Under the table, Greg's leg flinches as Jinx nuzzles his heel. Greg looks up at a fireplace mantle.
Oh, that's a lovely vase. That's great. Let me guess, Jack, is that one of your little secret cameras too, huh?
Greg widens his eyes and waves his hands at the vase.
That's an urn which holds the remains of Jack's mother.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. That's
all right. You didn't know, Greg.
That's our grand-grin.
We like to think of her as watching over us as we eat.
He raises a glass.
Love you, Mom. Miss you. Miss you every day.
Oh, honey, why don't you read Greg your poem?
Oh, no. He doesn't want to hear that.
What? No. What poem?
You see, when Jack had to retire for health reasons...
Oh, that's a bunch of malarkey, honey. I'm fine.
The doctor thought it would be therapeutic if he sort of expressed his emotions in an artistic way. And, honey, you wrote the most beautiful poem about your mother. Please, we really want to hear it.
Poem. Mm-hmm.
Please?
Well, all right. It's a work in progress. Mm-hmm. I'm still not happy with it. As soon as it's ready, then I am going to glaze it onto a plate and put it next to the urn.
Nice. It's very special.
My Mother by Jack Burns. You gave me life, you gave me milk, you gave me courage. Your name was Angela, the angel from heaven. But you were also an angel of God. And he needed you too. Selfishly, I tried to keep you here while the cancer ate away your organs like an unstoppable rebel force. But I couldn't save you, and I shall see your face nevermore, 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 until we meet in heaven.
Daddy, that's beautiful.
It's amazing. So much love, yet also so much information.
Jack tucks the folded poem into his wallet.
It takes a lot out of him.
He dabs his eyes with his napkin.
Greg, would you like some
lettuce?
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
You must have had vegetables fresher than that growing up on a farm, Greg.
That, Greg grew up in Detroit.
He told me he grew up on a farm.
Greg nods as he chews another green bean.
Do they have many farms in Detroit?
No, Dina. No, not a lot. In fact, Jack, I should clarify this. I didn't actually grow up in a farm per se. The house that we grew up in was originally erected in the early Dutch farm colonial style. So that, plus we had a lot of pets.
He waves his hands around and nods vacantly.
Which one did you milk then?
Dad.
Honey, he said he pumped milk.
What have you ever milked?
Under the table, Jinx rubs against Greg's leg.
Cat?
A cat?
I milked a cat once. You want to hear a story?
Sure.
My sister had a cat, and the cat birthed a litter of kittens. Must have been 30 of them. And there was this one little runt, this little sweet little engine that could run, who could, you know, wanted to get up there and couldn't really get access to the teat.
Dad.
What have you. I went in and just simply, you know.
Pam gapes as Greg's fingers make tiny tugging motions.
Into a little saucer. And then took the saucer and fed it to Geppetto. That's what I named him, Geppetto.
I had no idea you could milk a cat.
Oh, yeah, you can milk anything with nipples.
Pam slowly closes her eyes.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
Okay, could we change subject, perhaps?
Jack shrugs.
Oh, champagne.
Yes.
I thought maybe we could celebrate with a little bubbly.
That'd be great.
Oh, good.
Good idea.
Greg heads through the swinging door into the kitchen. Alone, he grabs his sweater collar and thrashes, then opens the refrigerator.
I have nipples. Can you milk me?
Well, in a funny way, honey, you've already seen Deb's ring.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Greg returns.
Would anybody care for a bottle of Oyster Bay Drug and Sundry's finest champagne?
That is so sweet of you, Greg. Isn't that a nice gesture?
That's very nice.
How could I have seen Debbie's ring, Mom? I haven't been home for months.
Well, when I gave Bob the okay to propose to Deb, I put him in touch with my diamond guy in the city, and he picked out the exact same design that Kevin gave you.
Pam sets down her wine glass.
Kevin, your old boyfriend?
Thanks, Dad.
Well, yeah, Kevin was Pam's fiancé.
The cork shoots from the champagne bottle and hits the urn. It crashes to the floor.
Oh my God.
Jinx runs toward it.
Jinxie, no!
He digs his paws through the ashes.
Jinxie, no! Oh my God.
Jack lunges at the squatting cat.
Shit.
Later in Pam's bedroom.
Greg, sweetie, how you doing?
Oh, just fine. Considering I desecrated your grandma's cremains, found out you were engaged, and had your father ask me to milk him. But at least back then he was still talking to me, so can't believe he didn't tell me you were that close.
Who, Daddy and me?
No, Kevin and you.
Well, Greg, do we have to know everything about each other's pasts? I mean, you know, you never told me about your cat milking days in Motown.
Greg peeks from the bathroom.
That was a long time ago, Pam.
Yeah, okay, well, so was this. Kevin's and my connection was more physical than anything else.
Physical?
He wears a pink robe.
Like what, like you worked out together?
No, it was nothing. It was just a stupid sexual thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go throw up now.
Pam moves to the door.
Greg, listen, Kevin and I were only engaged for a month before I realized that I'd made a mistake, okay? I gave Beth the ring, I moved to Chicago, and I met and fell in love with you, okay? So can we please drop this?
Greg faces her.
Okay.
Good.
I just feel like this is not going well at all. I feel like your dad hates me.
Doesn't hate you, sweetie. Come on, just give him a chance, right? Maybe he's nervous too, huh?
I thought he would love my gift. You know, being this big flower guy, but it's like, he didn't even show the slightest bit of interest.
Listen to me. Forget the gift. You're the most adorable, loving, sweetest man in the whole world. And I love you. And very soon my parents are gonna see that and grow to love you too, okay?
Seated on the bed, he leans into her kisses.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of growing to love you,
I
know it's late, but Mr. Winky is still in Chicago time, and we both know there's only one way to make Mr. Winky go away.
Right?
And there it is.
Greg scowls as they get up. He opens the door, and Pam's parents eye his pink robe.
What's with the robe?
It's Pam's. Yeah, my pajamas are in the suitcase with everything else.
Hey, I'll lend you a pair of jacks, okay, honey?
Sure.
Oh, you don't have to do that.
Oh, no.
No, that's fine. We have to.
Dina waves and leaves.
You're welcome.
Look, Greg, I just want to say don't worry about what happened tonight.
Oh, well, thanks, Jack. I still feel horrible. I mean,
well, it was a horrible thing.
Jack nods and looks to the floor.
But let's just put all that behind us and enjoy our weekend together.
Okay.
Thank you, Daddy.
Dina shuffles back with blue pajamas.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
Those will do just fine.
Good night.
Night-night. Why'd you get my favorite
hat? Good night. See you.
in the morning, right? Okay, you too.
Greg moves to a room across the hall.
Oh, no, 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 Greg. We made up the pullout for you down in the den.
Oh, okay, because Pam said I should sleep in Debbie's room, but...
Well, Debbie will be sleeping here tomorrow, so this way you'll have more privacy. You'll have your own bathroom.
Well, just try not to flush the toilet, okay? It's always a little quirky.
Okay.
Oh, one more thing.
As Dina leaves, Jack steps close to Greg.
I'm a realist. I understand it's the 21st century, and you've probably had premarital relations with my daughter.
Greg's eyes shift.
But under our roof, it's my way or the Long Island Expressway. Is that understood?
Of course.
Good. Keep your snake in its cage for 72 hours.
Jack pats him on the arm.
Okay.
Now, a wooden cat on a shelf overlooks the den. Greg, wearing Jack's pajamas, uses the phone.
Welcome to Atlantic American Airways Lost Luggage Department.
Greg examines photos over the fireplace. One shows Jinx wearing a Santa hat. Another shows Jinx in a Yankees cap. The third is of Pam and a blonde man in front of a birthday cake sitting with arms around one another.
Please press 1 if you'd like to talk to a representative. We are closed for the night. Please call back.
Now, Greg turns on the bathroom light.
Oh.
Jinx is on the toilet.
Sorry.
Greg turns the light off and leaves. Upstairs, Jack reads in bed.
I don't know what it is, but there's just something about him that's a little off.
Oh, yeah. Jack, you know we've been through this with every boyfriend Pam has had since, middle school. I think Greg is, he's a lovely young man. And honey, Pam thinks he might be the one.
She said that? She said those exact words?
Well, I mean, I didn't tape record her, Jack.
Nearby, a grate covers a vent in the wall. In the den, Greg stands on the bed listening at another
vent. What kind of a family doesn't have time to sit down for dinner?
Fugitives.
Please try to enjoy the weekend, huh? Both our daughters are in love.
That's what I'm worried about.
Dina rests her head on Jack and pats his chest.
Oh, geez, I just realized something.
What?
Pam's middle name.
Martha. Oh, no.
Pamela Motherfucker.
At the vent, Greg frowns, then slips. His foot knocks over a lamp, and he falls back onto the mattress. A hidden door by a bookshelf opens. Just inside, an exposed pipe and insulation cover the walls. Greg sticks his head into the passage, then steps through the doorway to investigate. The short passageway turns, then opens past a low brick archway into a cramped room. Wooden shelves line the brick walls around a computer station. Greg ducks his head and steps cautiously through the archway. Knick-knacks and a few electronic gadgets clutter the space. He scans the room, and his eyes fall on a picture of Jack standing next to a dark-skinned man. Both wear turbans. Greg looks to another snapshot of Jack, standing with Generals Colin Powell and Norman Schwarzkopf. Another shows Jack walking with President Clinton. Greg's eyes dart to the computer desk, where he spots a post-it pad. He reads the top side of the paper.
Operation Kosum Lee?
Greg turns to a suitcase-shaped device with needle-thin pens poised on graph paper. He picks up a Velcro arm cuff, and his eyes widen.
Looking for something, Greg?
Oh.
Jack stands behind him.
Jesus, Jack, you scared me.
Well, I heard a noise, so I came down to see if everything was okay.
Everything's fine. I'm sorry. I saw a light on in here, and I kind of stumbled in, and I didn't realize...
Well, that's okay. See anything interesting?
No, not at all. I mean, this is great, though. I love this, it's a cozy little nook.
I noticed you were looking at that when I came in.
Greg points at the machine.
Yeah.
It's an antique polygraph machine.
Is that what that is? Because I've seen these before, but I never saw one actually up close.
You know what?
Jack ducks through the archway and points toward the arm cuff.
Why don't you try that on?
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, come on. We'll have some fun. I'll show you how it works.
Yeah, I shouldn't.
Well, why should you be afraid? You have nothing to hide.
No, I know.
I know you know, so there shouldn't be any problem.
No, there's no problem.
So, try it on.
Okay.
I'll help you.
Jack straps the arm cuff onto Greg, then fastens two rubbery cords around his torso. Next, he clips a plastic sensor to Greg's middle finger.
Don't worry. You'll enjoy this.
Jack presses two buttons, and the machine's paper begins to scroll. Jack dons a pair of glasses.
Looks complicated. Now, these aren't 100% accurate, right? They're...
Well, you'd be surprised how accurate they are. They can tell fairly easily if someone's lying or not. Now I'm going to ask you some questions, and all you have to do is answer yes or no.
Okay.
All right. Let's give it a whirl. Did you fly on an airplane today?
Yes, I did.
Greg looks at the graph paper.
No peeking. Did we eat pot roast for dinner tonight?
Yes.
Was it undercooked?
Jack makes red marks on the paper with a felt tip.
No, it was rare.
One pen swings widely left and right.
But I...
I'm just kidding. I'm just... Relax, relax. The needles are jumping.
Greg closes his eyes.
Have you ever watched pornographic videos?
Greg peeks at the pens.
No.
The middle one scratches violently.
I mean, well, I don't...
Yes or no?
Later, Greg pops three pieces of Nicorette gum out of the package. As he sits in the dark chewing, Pam peeks into the den.
Hey!
She flips on the light.
Hey.
Greg sits on the back of the sofa bed with his feet on the mattress.
What's the matter? You can't sleep?
No, I'm just, going over some of my answers from the polygraph test your dad just gave me.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
Well, did you lie to him?
No. I mean, well, he asked me if we were living together, and I...
What'd you tell him?
I nothing. Your mother walked, and I yanked the little thingies off before I had to answer. Is this how you'd react if I told you that he shoved bamboo shoots up my fingernails, huh? Or does he hook all your boyfriends up to his little machine?
Well, he doesn't need a machine. He's a human lie detector.
What?
Greg, my father was never in the rare flower business. That was just his cover. He was in the CIA for 34 years.
How could you not tell me this?
I wanted to, honey, but it was strictly on a need-to-know basis.
So what, he's in the CIA? He was a spy? He is a spy?
No, he was more like a psychological profiler. They used him to interrogate suspected double agents in the company.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I was scared of your dad back when I thought he was a florist. It's wonderful to know that I've actually got a CIA spy hunter on my ass.
Would you stop? You're doing great, okay? This is a lot to take in, honey. I'm sorry.
It's just weird.
Oh, I know, but you're doing fine. I promise.
As they kiss, Pam's hand slides down Greg's chest. As her fingers pass his waist, he stops her hand.
No. What's wrong, sweetie?
I forgot. I'm not supposed to let the snake out of my cage.
You what?
I told your dad I wouldn't touch you for 72 hours.
Okay, well, I'm not in junior high anymore, okay?
No. So... Seriously, I want to try to respect his rules, okay?
Okay. Fine. Why don't you go ahead and get some sleep, and I'll see you in the morning.
Okay. Morning. Outside, autumn leaves cover the trees around the house. Inside, Greg sleeps. Jinx lies next to his face. Greg wakes and finds Jack sitting next to the cat.
Morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Pam told me she let you in on a little secret of mine last night.
Yes, she did.
Well, as long as you can keep your mouth shut for the rest of your life, you're in no immediate danger.
I won't tell.
I'm just being humorous.
Huh. That's funny.
But the fact is, Greg, with the knowledge you've been given, you are now on the inside of what I like to call the Burns family circle of trust. I keep nothing from you, you keep nothing from me, and round we go.
Okay. Understood.
Okay, good. Come on, then. Let's go inside and have breakfast.
As Jack leaves, Greg slumps back. Now, in the kitchen, Jack holds a piece of bacon.
Jinxie cat, where are you? I love you.
Pam and five others watch Jinx hop onto the table and take the bacon from Jack's mouth. Greg enters, still wearing pajamas.
Hey, look who's up.
Hi.
It must be Greg.
Hello.
Oh, look, somebody had a little visit from the hair fairy.
Nice too.
Hey,
I'll do the intros, Greg. This is my sister, Debbie.
Hi.
Oh, it's a bride to be.
Nice to meet
Congratulations.
You.
And her fiance, Dr. Bob.
Oh, you call me Bob. MD.
These are his parents, Linda Banks.
Hi, how are you?
Nice to meet
and
you.
And the world famous plastic surgeon, Dr. Larry.
Oh, now cut that out.
He makes a scissor motion with his fingers.
You know, Greg's in medicine too, Larry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What field?
Nursing.
That's good.
No, really. What field?
Nursing.
Dina quickly stands.
Hey, why don't I get you a chair, Greg?
Thank you. Thanks.
So, you didn't want to go for the MD?
No, I actually thought about becoming a doctor, but I decided it wasn't for me.
Oh, thanks.
Just as well. Boards are killer.
Actually, Greg aced his MCATs.
You serious?
No, I did okay.
Oh, he did more than okay, trust me.
Why did you take the test if you weren't planning on going to med school?
Well, I wanted to keep my options open, but in the end, nursing was just a better fit for me. It gives you the freedom to work in several different areas of medicine. Plus, I can focus 100% on patient care as opposed to being a doctor where you have to deal with the bureaucracy.
Wasn't your friend Andy supposed to be here by now?
Oh, my God. I thought Deb told you. Dr. Andy threw out his back. He can't make the wedding.
No. You're kidding.
Oh, damn. Well, now I have to reconfigure the whole procession.
Bob, why doesn't Greg stand in for Andy to be the usher?
Oh, no, Pam, no.
No, that'll be fine. Bob, Greg will be your second usher. Good.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Good. All right. Well, let's all finish up and get ready to go because we have a pre-activity briefing in about 32 minutes.
Oh, 32 minutes. Mm.
They're really. You know what? In that case, I better get upstairs and pay a little visit to the shower fairy.
Greg exits.
Dina, thank you so much for wrapping.
Greg pads away with a rumpled frown. Pam catches up with him.
Hey, you okay?
Why didn't you wake me up?
Not because I thought you'd like to sleep late.
Not when I'm a guest in somebody's house.
Well, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
No, it's not okay. Tell that to Dr. Torquemada in there with the Grand Inquisition.
Go take a shower, get dressed, and come back down.
Get dressed in what?
Borrow some more of Dad's clothes.
No, I don't. Come on.
Why not, honey?
I don't feel comfortable wearing your dad's underwear, okay?
Okay, well, go wake up Denny and borrow some of his.
You want me to go and wake up your brother who I never met and ask if I can have some of his clothes?
Pam beams at him.
Okay. All right. Where's Denny's room?
Up the stairs, turn right.
Now, Greg steps on a green floor mat that reads, "Go away."
Denny? Denny? Denny?
Greg enters Denny's poster-covered room.
Hello? Hello?
A TV, computer, desk, and foosball table decorate the cluttered room. Greg turns to a dresser and opens the top drawer. As he takes out a pair of red and white plaid boxers, a figure crawls in through the window.
Hey, hi. What the hell are you doing in here?
I'm Greg, Pam's friend.
What, were you just sniffing my boxers, dude?
No, dude, no. She said I could come up here and just maybe borrow some clothes from you.
No. Do me a favor, close the door.
Okay.
Quick.
Greg puts the boxers back.
Did you tell anybody I wasn't here?
No. They think you're asleep. Yeah, so it's all good.
You scare me.
Denny reaches in a desk drawer and withdraws an aerosol can. He sprays himself down as he eyes Greg.
Dad keeps you guys under a pretty close watch, huh?
No, it's not that bad. Your little pancakes got a lot worse than I do, you know?
Denny puts drops in his eyes.
Oh, you need some clothes.
Yes, that would be great.
Glad to hook you up.
Cool.
All right.
Like what you done with the crib?
Denny reaches into the closet.
Oh, Lil' Kim. She's fat.
Denny glances at his poster of the squatting brunette and nods.
PH, fat.
Yeah, I think these ought to do it. All right, here you go, Chief.
All right.
Enjoy.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Hey. No problem.
Oh, and don't worry about the little covert op, all right? Keep it on the low down.
Down low.
No doubt.
Later at the front door.
Up. People, come get your revised itineraries. Larry,
Jack hands out sheets of paper as the family rushes out the door.
Now I'm going to activate the alarm. It'll go off T-minus 16 seconds.
As Greg comes downstairs, Jack blocks his view of the alarm keypad. Greg shoots a glance at Pam, then accepts a jacket from her.
Hey, Danielle, I'm lending Greg your jacket, okay?
Whatever.
Let's go.
As Pam and Greg go, Denny freezes, looks to where his jacket was, then follows them quickly. Now, at a tuck shop, Denny finds his jacket on the back of a couch. He reaches into a pocket and pulls out a small, multicolored pipe.
Denny, how's the tux fit?
Dad,
What's that?
It's a sculpture I found in Greg's jacket.
Jack examines and sniffs the pipe.
This isn't a sculpture, Denny. This is a device for smoking marijuana.
Really?
Jack looks questioningly at Denny.
Not mine. It's not.
Now in a dressing room.
Oh, hey, Jack. How you doing?
Jack shuts the curtain as Greg knots his tie.
Like the top hat. Compliments you. Can I talk to you for a minute?
Jack motions to a dressing stall, and they both squeeze in.
Sit down.
Greg sits on the small corner bench, and Jack shuts the door.
Did I not clearly explain the circle of trust to you, Greg?
Mm. Yeah, I think I got it.
Then is there something you want to tell me?
I don't think so.
Didn't we have a discussion yesterday in the car about this?
Oh, yes. You mean me and Pam. Yes, I would love to talk to you about
that. We're not talking about Pam, Greg. We're talking about you. See, if I can't trust you, Greg, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle. And once you're out, you're out. There's no coming back.
Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle.
Well, then tell me the truth.
Okay.
Greg nods and bows his head.
Jack, I don't know what we're talking about.
All right, now look, Fokker. I'm a patient man. That's what 19 months in a Vietnamese prison camp will do to you. But I will be watching you, studying your every move. And if I find that you are trying to corrupt my firstborn child, I will bring you down, baby. I will bring you down to Chinatown.
Greg stares up at Jack's pointing finger. As Jack exits the stall, Greg remains in the corner. Jack peeks back in, pointing two fingers at his own eyes, then points again at Greg. Now, two cars cross a small wooden bridge.
Where are we? I thought we were going to Kevin's house.
We are, sweetie. This is Kevin's new house.
Wow.
They approach a stone mansion. As they exit the cars, Greg pops more Nicorette in his mouth.
Maybe he uses marijuana for medicinal purposes. People do that nowadays.
This kid has been lying to us from the moment we met him.
Hey, you.
Hey.
Getting some quality time with the boys?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was fun.
Dr. Larry mimics Greg smoking a joint.
Listen, I hope this lunch isn't too weird for you.
Why would BBQ at best man's be weird?
Oh, my God, Greg. I was sure I told you. Kevin is Bob's best man. This is his place.
Kevin, your ex-fiancé?
Kevin comes out and greets the parents.
I don't understand. How does he know Bob?
Kevin and Jack bump chest twice, then hug tightly.
Well, they went to lacrosse camp together, and Kevin was the one who introduced Bob to Debbie.
Lacrosse camp?
I was really lucky. I was able to salvage this wood from an old seaman's chapel in Nantucket.
The group enters a lavish room with a high vaulted ceiling supported by wooden arches.
Maybe you should have gotten married here.
All right, everybody. The sun is out, the grill is hot, and the pool is luke. So if I can interest you in a swim and a little BBQ, just follow me.
All right, Kevo, right on schedule.
Jack taps his watch and the group moves on. Greg lags behind and discovers a half dozen framed photos of Pam and Kevin. One picture shows them in formal wear standing in front of a colorful sunset. Greg's brow furrows as he scans past photos of the couple skiing, riding on horseback, skydiving, and wearing snorkels on a beach. Pam approaches.
You okay, sweetie?
Yeah.
I'm really sorry. I don't know why I thought you knew.
What? It's not a big deal. Hey, look, if I can handle a weekend without sex and cigarettes, I think I can handle an afternoon with your ex-fiancé.
In the kitchen.
Now, for the floor that you're walking on, I chose this Bolivian wormwood. I think works well in here. I have the Viking range here and the twin sub-Zs.
Greg opens a wood cabinet right that's actually a refrigerator.
Oh, I get it. Like, hidden.
Yeah, kind of that's blend in.
Great.
Are you a homeowner, Greg?
No. I rent.
Oh.
So, things are going real, real well for you, aren't they, at Newburgh, eh, Kevin?
Gosh, things have been going so great lately. Yeah, I got in early on some wireless IPOs, and the stuff just skyrocketed from there.
Wow.
What about you, Greg? What line of work are you in?
I'm in healthcare.
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. There are a lot of Benjamins to be made right now with the biotech stuff. Yeah, I don't have to tell you that. How's your portfolio?
I'd say strong.
Jack squints, listening to Greg.
To quite strong?
Yeah, yeah. You gotta strike while the iron's hot. Now's the time.
Greg's a male nurse.
That's right. Thank you, Jack.
Wow. That's great. That's great to give something back like that. I'd love to find time to do some volunteer work. Just the other day, I saw this golden retriever that he had like a gimp, and he couldn't really... It just made me feel terrible. I wish there was something I could do.
Yeah, well, I get paid, but also it feels, you know, good, too. So it's kind of everybody wins. What are you... you're like a Wall Street trader, an investment guy?
No, I mean, I don't like to be painting with that brush. Yes, that's my day job. We have time? We got time, don't we, Jack? Okay, I want to show you what I'm really interested in. Come on, let's go.
Jack nods, smiling. Now they enter a garage filled with carpentry equipment.
Wow, looks like somebody got an A in wood shop.
Greg picks up a small wooden horse.
Yeah, it's always been kind of a hobby. I whittled that out of beech wood.
Huh, it's beautiful. So what got you into carpentering?
Carpentry? I guess I'd have to say Jesus. He was a carpenter, and I just figured if you're going to follow in someone's footsteps, who better than Christ?
Greg nods thoughtfully. Hmm. Jack looks back and forth between the two men.
Greg's Jewish.
Are you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so was JC. Wow, you're in good company.
Kevin pats Greg on the arm. Greg awkwardly pats him back.
Well, I'm going to head to the pool, but why don't you show Greg and Pam your gifts?
Kevin snaps his fingers and trots over to a tarp.
Made a gift.
Greg.
Now, I just put a fresh coat of lacquer on this morning, so bear with me with the fumes.
Kevin unveils a tall, narrow, gazebo-like structure.
Wow, Kev.
Isn't that something?
That's incredible.
Thank you.
Roses, Deb's favorite.
Pam and Kevin stand under the gazebo's square-domed roof, admiring the intricately carved pillars. As Jack leaves, he points at his eyes, then at Greg.
It's beautiful. What is it?
It's an altar. Or you might call it a chuppah.
Pam steps off the platform.
Isn't that sweet?
I'm gonna take it over to the Burnses. And tomorrow, Robert and Deborah will meet beneath it to become man and wife. And later, when they purchase a home, maybe it'll grace their garden. Or that's my sappy romantic idea.
Greg glances at Pam as she shifts and smiles bashfully.
That's taking forever to build.
Yeah, not too bad, about 70 hours. Which isn't bad considering I carved it all by hand from one piece of wood.
Pam and Greg stare at Kevin.
Hey, Kevo, 12:15, time to start the barbecue, big guy.
Okay, Mr. B. I better get back to playing host. Okay, you guys, you just grab your suits and I'll meet you down at the pool.
You know what, I think I'm gonna take a pass on the swimming.
Well, I know you can.
No, I don't even have a suit with me. The airline lost my bag and...
Pancake, let's go. Mom's got your suit out here.
Coming, Dad.
You better get going.
Yeah. Pam leaves.
Gosh, she's great. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. And by the way, she just had the nicest things to say about you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Gosh. Yeah, we had some good times together. Boy, she is a tomcat.
Greg follows Kevin's dreamy gaze, then squares his eyes on him.
Whew. So, let me hook you up with some trunks, Gregor.
I'm not gonna swim.
No, come on, I'm not taking no for an answer.
Now, Greg leans against a bathroom wall, his arms folded. Chewing gum, he stares at a skimpy blue bathing suit clipped to a hanger on a wooden chair. At the sink, he dumps out more Nicorettes and pops one into his mouth. He shakes his head. Now, on the patio, all the guests turn and look as he emerges in the bikini-style suit.
Hey, there he is. Get out here. G-Man, we got salmon, we got swordfish. What's it gonna be?
He stands behind a potted palm.
How about a little boat? K.E. Dog? I'm pretty hungry.
Yeah, I think they call that the munchies.
Larry laughs. Later in the pool, Kevin serves a volleyball over a net. Bob, Pam, and Debbie are on his team. Jack, Larry, Denny, and Greg make up the other. Kevin aces the ball, and Greg misses the return. Jack angrily slams the ball. Greg serves. The ball sails over Dina and Linda at the table and crashes onto the buffet. Jack serves starts a volley. Kevin aces the ball at Greg, who ducks. Pam high-fives Kevin.
Sweet setup, Iceman.
Nice one, nurse.
Glenn, come here. You gotta rush the net on defense. Don't be afraid of the ball.
Oh, it's Greg.
Huddle up, team. Huddle up. Come on.
Greg, not Glenn. Greg is afraid of the ball.
Glancing at them, Greg joins Jack's huddle.
Here's what we gotta do.
He enters between Denny and Larry and faces Jack.
We're getting creamed, people.
Well, Florence Nightingale over here, play a little defense.
Larry, I missed one shot.
It was a big shot.
Larry, yeah. Keep floating where you are. You're doing great. Right. Denny, take the deep shots.
Okay.
Greg, nobody's expecting much out of you, so if I set you up with the ball, you think you can jump up and spike it?
No. Yeah, I'd have to be pretty high, but yeah.
I bet you would, Panama Red.
All right, everybody look sharp.
Greg, place the ball.
Come on!
Denny sets the ball up for Greg, who lobs it high over the net. Bob drives it back hard and scores. Jack slaps the water with his hands.
Spike goes, Bob! You got a spike goes! Now Bob did that. Nice play, Bob.
Thanks, Jack. Fired up there, Slocker.
Yes, sir.
Now Larry sets the ball. Greg lunges high and drives it down across the net. It slams Debbie square in the face. As blood streams from her nose, Dina leaps into the pool fully clothed.
What the hell's the matter with you?
It's only a game, fucker!
Everyone rushes to Debbie and shoots a look back at Greg. Greg stands alone on the far side of the net. Later, at the Burns house, Debbie gets out of the car, her right eye swollen shut.
Ma'am, help your sister, please.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Dad, you can totally see Voight backwards on your forehead.
Denny, get out of here.
You the band leader?
Yes, sir.
Go over song selection with Bob.
Yeah. Bob.
A delivery man takes a suitcase from his van.
Are you a Mr. Focker?
Yes.
Okay, sign here, please.
Great. Thank you.
Greg signs, brings the suitcase into the den, and places it on the bed. As he selects a key from his key ring, Pam walks in.
Hey, your suitcase. Did you go through it, make sure it's all there?
Yeah, it's fine.
Good.
What's up?
Pam closes the door behind her.
Just want to make sure you're okay since hitting the spike card around the world.
Oh, yeah. I'm really sorry about that.
It's okay.
I don't know what got into me. Iceman.
She sits.
Iceman?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that like a special thing between you and Kevin?
Because oh, I can. Stop it.
Stop what? Iceman?
Top Gun was a very popular movie when Kevin and I dated, all right? That's it.
Hey, Iceman. I have no problem with that.
She slinks closer.
Do you want to be Maverick? Is that what this is all about?
I can't be Maverick. Kevin's Maverick.
No, so. Well, he used to be, but we can change that.
Can he be Goose?
No, because Goose dies in the end.
She kisses him.
Very sad.
She kisses him again.
Honey, I don't really...
Greg, shut up.
Okay.
With a kiss, she pulls him down to the bed on top of her. His caress travels down her form-fitted sweater, then up underneath it. As Jack and Larry walk in carrying linens, the lovers spring to their feet.
Jeez, Dad, do you ever think of knocking?
Not in my own den. What are you two doing in here?
I'd say rounding second base.
Greg purses his lips.
This is Greg's room, Dad.
Not anymore. We're going to use it for storage. Greg will stay in Debbie's room, and she'll bunk up with you tonight.
Fine. Come on, Greg.
Okay. I'll be right up.
Greg grabs his suitcase.
Oh, good. They found your suitcase.
Yeah. Hey, Jack, I don't quite know what happened back at the tuck shop. But look, if I've given you the wrong impression regarding Pam in any way, I'm sorry, okay? I have nothing but the best intentions with Pam. And
Jack
I
glances just... into the bathroom.
Actually, there's something in the suitcase here that I'm planning on giving her that I think symbolizes...
Jack disappears into the bathroom.
The level of my commitment to her. And I wouldn't feel right asking her to wear it without her father's permission.
He eyes the bathroom doorway.
Jack.
Jack steps into view.
Did you flush this toilet?
Greg shakes his head.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe Jinx flushed it. I saw a little Jinxie come in last night, and he took a little, squatted, relieved himself.
Jinx knows not to use that toilet. And even if he did, he'd never flush it.
What does it matter?
The matter, Greg, RN, is that when this toilet is flushed, it runs. And when you have a septic tank that's nearly full and a toilet that's been running all night, then you could have a hell of a problem.
A caterer enters.
Mr. Burns.
Outside, Greg hauls chairs off the flooded lawn.
Nice stench. You're really on a roll there, bud.
Bite me, Denny.
Jack is on the phone.
In 20 hours, I'm having a wedding here, so I need my cesspool pump now. Not tomorrow, now.
Dad, what's going on? Oh, my God.
Yeah. What's that smell?
That smell, Bob, is our shit.
Parker flushed the toilet in the den, so the septic tank is overflowing.
Jack, I told you, it wasn't me. It was Jinx.
Parker, I'm not going to tell you again. Jinx cannot flush the toilet. He's a cat, for Christ's sakes!
The animal doesn't even have thumbs, Parker.
Kevin arrives with the altar on his flatbed pickup.
Look at this!
Kevo!
Over by the tree, right?
Kevin backs up across the lawn toward the porch where Jack and the others gather. The truck's rear wheel sinks into brown slime.
Not on the lawn!
Stuck, Kevin guns it. As the wheel spins, slime sprays the two families, spattering them with brown. Off to the side, Greg gapes.
What the heck?
Kevin gets out of the pickup. Greg purses his lips and drops his head. Now in the den, he lays down his suitcase on the bed and gets out his keys. He inserts the key into the small padlock and tries to turn it to no avail. He takes a closer look at the bag.
No, I know that's
now
what I said I wanted because that's
phone.
What I wanted. Because it is a black Samsonite suitcase, okay? What I'm saying is, do you think that maybe it's possible that the Samsonite people, in some crazy little scheme to actually turn a profit, made more than one? Huh?
No, I don't think so.
Really? You don't? Uh-huh.
Well
look,
going,
hey.
I am going to need your bag and claim number.
Jinx, stop.
Jinx paws at Greg's leg. Now, Jack comes downstairs, glances toward the kitchen, and enters the den. He locks the door behind him, sits, and opens a pouch containing a set of locksmith tools. He deftly picks the lock on the suitcase and unzips it. He opens the suitcase and stares at its contents, black garments and a white cardboard box. Jack glances stoically toward the door, then lifts up a thong. Tossing it aside, he examines a cat of nine tails. Next, he holds up the cardboard box and studies its front. The back reads, "The Mountie Strap-On Dildo," and shows a cartoon busty blonde. Now, in the kitchen.
I know I signed for it. I signed for it because...
I'm looking at
don't tell me that. What?
Right
what are you talking? Look, do me a favor.
Can I talk to your supervisor?
Greg opens the door, letting Jinx out.
What's your name?
Joy.
Okay, let me talk to your supervisor.
My supervisor is on a break, sir.
Okay, when he gets back, you have him give me a call right away, okay? It's a very important bag.
I'm sure it is.
Greg hangs up and opens the door. Jinx runs off, and Greg chases him.
Jinx!
Now, Jack's on the phone.
Don't ask me what it's for. I just need you to do this thing.
Yeah.
Now, please, I'm in a time situation here, so just do it. I'll hold on.
Right, so the name's Greg Parker.
I don't know, Greg or Gregory. Run both names.
Jinx leaps up on a trellis and climbs.
Jinx!
Come on.
No.
Jinx, come here. Jinx.
As Greg climbs the trellis, Jinx reaches the roof.
No.
Jinx.
Inside, Jack faces Dina.
Greg didn't ace his med school boards. He never even took the goddamn MCATs.
Oh, Jack, that's what you had your sources check out. What this poor boy did on some test scores?
I bet he doesn't even have a real nursing degree. A lot of these hospital workers are just pill poppers looking for easy access to loots. We already know that he's been puffing a magic dragon. I knew the little quack was lying.
Back on the roof.
Jinxie, come here. Come here, little Jinxie head.
Oh.
Greg spies his cigarettes. Jinx sits by a dormer.
Jinxie cat, I won't hurt you.
Greg lunges for Jinx, who darts off. Back inside, Jack faces Pam.
The fact is, Greg lied to you.
He did not lie to me,
Dad.
He
lied to you, and I thought you should know the truth. I love you too much to see you get hurt.
I don't care what your information says, Dad. Greg took the MCATs, okay?
On the roof, Greg sits between two dormers, smoking a cigarette. He shuts his eyes and drops his head. As Greg lifts a cordless phone to his ear, Jack takes the call on another phone. Greg peers down at Jack on the patio below. A leaf flutters from the roof and Jack looks up. Greg backs behind a dormer. A cigarette dangles from his mouth as he listens in. By the leaf-filled gutter nearby, Jinx lies licking his chops. Greg pockets the phone and edges toward Jinx. He tosses a cigarette and it rolls down into the gutter. He lunges and grabs Jinx. Jack looks around uncertainly. In the gutter, the cigarette ignites the leaves. Jinx scrambles, scooting off the roof. Greg holds the cat by the collar. As Jinx dangles above Jack's head, Greg sees the fire in the gutter. Now, Jack hangs up and goes inside. Jinx slips out of his collar and drops to the patio.
Shit.
As Greg tries to stomp out the fire in the gutter, Jinx runs off. Greg blows at the fire. As he stamps harder, the gutter swings loose and slams against an electrical wire, which snaps off the house and sputters like fireworks. Greg leaps onto the porch roof. As the sparking wire flops around on the lawn, fallen leaves and a tree burst into flame. Greg gapes as the live wire ignites Kevin's altar. The flames engulf it. Everyone in the house rushes out. Unseen, Greg flees across the porch roof and dives into an open window. As Larry dials a phone, others slosh the flames with bottles and pails of water. Debbie brings a watering can, and Kevin squints at his burning altar. Later, firefighters hose down its charred remains. The families gather in the house.
We've checked every yard, every car on the street. Nobody's seen him.
But he's not up in any of the trees, Jack.
We checked all the bedrooms. Jinx isn't up here.
Yeah, none of the neighbors have seen him either.
You tried to milk him, didn't you, you sick son of a bitch?
Jack points at Greg.
Dad, stop it. That's enough. Honey, please calm down.
How can I calm down if we're 15 minutes away from the wedding rehearsal and the ring bearer is missing?
What do you mean, the ring bearer?
Oh, your daddy didn't tell you?
He taught Jinx to walk down the aisle with his little pillow. Oh,
Deb looks with her unswollen eye.
Dad? Yeah, you put this around the neck, and these two ribbons are for the rings.
That's adorable, Jack. Oh, for Christ's sake.
That's great, Dad.
Yeah, but now we have to postpone the rehearsal. Bob, you ride with me. Larry, you come with your car. We're going to canvass the neighbor. D, ask O'Boyle to wait. If we're not back in an hour, we'll reschedule the rehearsal for first thing in the morning. That's it.
Jack!
No, we cannot cancel the rehearsal for some stupid cat.
Stupid cat? How could you say that? That cat's been like a brother to you. We're supposed to let him wander the streets without food, water, or toilet?
Debbie shrugs.
Dad, Greg will find him.
What? Yeah, what?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Greg looks at Pam, then at Jack.
Fine. Okay. Denny!
Dad, I'm right here.
Yoo-hoo.
Honey. Okay, you're gonna fill in as the ring bearer for now.
What? No, I'm not wearing that stupid pillow thing on my head.
Oh, yes, you damn well will.
Now, Greg drives the Taurus.
Jinx! Jinx!
She's gonna wander the streets without food, water, a toilet? Fucker.
Now, at an animal shelter.
Actually, you may be in luck. They brought in a Himalayan a little while ago. Huh. There he is.
Greg compares it to a photo.
Holy shit,
that's Jinx.
Jinxie.
Now, let me see that photo again.
Yeah, you gotta picture him without that stupid Santa cat.
Yeah.
Jinxie.
No. You see, in the picture, your cat has an all-black tail.
Yeah?
And this one has a white tip. No, I'm sorry about that, Chief.
He hands the photo back to Greg.
Looks just like him.
Almost. Except for that tail.
As the attendant saunters off, Greg remains gazing into the cage. Now, in the Burns yard, a priest struggles to ignore two tree cutters.
Dearly beloved.
Heads turn as a machine grinds the tree into sawdust.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here on this beautiful day. Join Dr. Robert
Banks. Other workers pump the septic tank.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here on this beautiful day.
Greg strides triumphantly past the workers toward the wedding rehearsal. Pam turns. Greg grips the handle of a pet carrier in his left hand. He points forward and Pam grins. As Greg proudly holds up the carrier, Pam runs to him. Now, Jack and Dina turn in their chairs and watch Greg open the carrier. Jack approaches as Pam holds up a gray Himalayan cat with a dark-tipped tail. The wedding party follows Jack, delight radiating on their faces.
It's him!
The wedding party joins Pam and Greg. Pam hands Jack the cat.
My little baby! We found you!
Where did you find him?
Gave us a little scare, huh?
In slow motion, Jack cuddles the cat. He kisses the cat. Now the sun sets on a harbor restaurant. A neon sign reads, Surf and Turf. Another sign shows a red lobster. Inside, a combo backs up a singer wearing shades, a black leather vest, and a fedora.
To Greg!
At a table, all raise their glasses.
Where is Craig, anyway? I was in the restroom.
Now, at a payphone.
I've tried every shelter on the North Shore, okay? He's a brown and black Himalayan with an all-black tail. Mr. Jinx. Yeah, okay, you go check. I'll call you back.
Greg rejoins the party.
Hey, it's the man of the hour.
Hey.
Sorry, folks. Had to pay a little visit to the urinal barrel.
Kevin doesn't laugh. Jack puts his hand on Greg's shoulder.
Greg, nice work with the cat today.
Oh, thanks, Jack. I'm just glad I could help out. Hey, you know, we never did get to finish that little convo back in the den. So when you have a minute, there is still something I'd love to talk to you about.
Greg, we'll get right to it as soon as we get back. You have my word.
I'm going to hold you to that. Circle of trust.
Guess who's back in the circle of trust?
Jack smiles. Meanwhile, in the Burns den, the cat eats the Nicorettes on the table. Now, the wedding dress hanging on the den's door gets yanked down. The cat ravages it, then runs off. Back on the surf and turf dance floor, Larry twirls Linda under his arm. Jack gaily dips Dina. As Pam dances with Greg, she looks over his shoulder.
Oh, poor Kevin looks lonely.
Kevin sits alone at the table.
Maybe I should ask him to dance. What do you think?
Sure. I bet he could whittle a private little dance floor for the two of you. I'm serious. I saw some beechwood outside. It's very handy.
It's an extremely handy and crafty craftsman.
I shouldn't paint him with that brush, but come on, seriously, part of you wishes you ended up with him.
Yes, she's very talented.
She strokes Greg's back.
But we've never worked out.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
I was never in love with Kevin.
She gazes off wistfully, then pulls back and looks Greg in the eye.
I'm in love with you.
They exchange faint smiles.
That's a good explanation.
Think so?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you'd like that.
I do.
He kisses her.
I'm glad. Mm-hmm.
Later, on the payphone.
No, Jinx. Mr. Jinx. I called you like half an hour ago.
Jack walks up.
Okay, I already...
He makes a call.
I already described it. Caroline.
Jack mouths that he's checking messages. Jack dials.
It's brown.
He shoots Greg a smile.
With a little bit of black trim.
Jack grins.
Yes.
Please enter your 4-digit code.
Jack blocks Greg's view of the keypad.
Jack, hi, it's Hank McAtee from next door. You'll never guess who wandered over here this afternoon. Mr. Jinx. Yeah, he's not wearing his collar, but I'm sure it's Jinxy. Thought you might be worried, so just give me a jingle when you guys get home and I'll bring the little rascal over.
Okay, well, if you could just keep checking, please, and I'll call you back later. Thanks.
The two men face each other.
Any luck? No, they're still looking. Hey, Jack, this is a great party. I guess sometimes these things just sort of come together in their own kooky sort of way.
Yeah, it's kind of like the way you found Jinxy. You found him at that animal shelter, huh?
Yeah, huh? Yeah, right.
Well, the important thing is he's home now.
Yes.
Greg turns to go.
You know, there's something about that ball of fur that just puts a big smile on my face. Yeah. You haven't seen any of his latest tricks, have you?
No.
Well, when we get back, I'll show you.
You know what? We don't have to do it tonight. You know, he's had a long day. He's probably tired. I wouldn't want to...
No, I think he'd like to show you tonight.
Jack stares coldly at Greg. Mm. Later, outside the restaurant.
Honey, why don't you give me the key and let me drive?
No. Hey, Larry. No. You know what? Why don't I drive?
Oh. Greg plucks the keys out of Larry's hand.
Hey. Be my guest, Parker.
Pam and her parents come out.
Hey, sweetie, what are you doing?
Larry said I could drive.
He mimes swigging a drink and points discreetly at Larry.
Oh.
Greg gets in the bank's car.
Go. Hurry.
I'm back, I see you.
Thanks for driving.
Greg takes off in Larry's Mercedes.
Drives a little better than your Taurus, huh, Greg?
Yeah.
Come on, get in the car, honey. Let's go. Hurry up.
Okay. Jack speeds off.
Whoa, Nellie.
Everybody comfortable back there?
Fine, honey.
A traffic light turns red.
You got your seatbelts on, Matt? Get your seatbelts on.
The light changes, and Greg guns it, swerving over a double yellow line to pass another car. In front, Larry scowls. Now at another red light.
Take it easy.
Ben's drives like a dream, man.
It's not making a nightmare, huh?
Jack slowly pulls his car alongside them.
Where's Jack?
Jack and Greg eye each other.
Hey, Jackie.
Larry waves. As Greg glances, Jack narrows his eyes. Greg knits his brow. Jack frowns.
Want to play, Pops? Let's play.
Both drivers stare ahead at the street.
Okay, now Greg.
The light changes. The men drag race neck to neck to the next light. It turns red.
Is everything okay, honey?
Yeah, just trying to make good time.
The light turns green and the cars barrel forward another block. The tires smoke as both vehicles skid over the crosswalk at the next light.
Maybe you should drive after all, honey.
We're okay.
Greg glances at Jack, who smiles back menacingly. Greg points two fingers at his own eyes, then points to Jack. As Jack's eyes widen, Greg points to the street. Jack flexes his hand in its driving glove. Greg guns it. Jack turns his car left down another street.
Yes!
Jack just turned.
You were supposed to make that left at the light.
Fucker.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
Where does he think he's going?
Now in Jack's car.
Home.
Jack's car pulls into the driveway first.
Okay, we're out.
Get on your side, honey.
I wonder if he has a license.
Yeah, license to kill.
Greg sits at the wheel while the families climb out of the cars. Jack shoots Greg a look.
Hey, nice driving, Mario.
Lunatic,
you're a lunatic.
As they merrily parade to the door, Greg grips the wheel and drops his gaze. The families enter the house and lights go on. In the den, overturned lamps illuminate broken dishes on the floor, rumpled linens, and a slashed pillow.
God damn you, Jack!
Larry charges the cat. Jack restrains him.
Cat got out.
Jack grabs the cat and lifts it up. Greg walks in to see Jack sniffing the cat's tail.
You spray painted his tail to make him look like Jinxie, didn't you, fucker?
All eyes turn to Greg.
Greg, what's he talking about?
Hank McAtee called me a couple of hours ago and told me he found Jinxie. He took his collar and put it on an imposter. Then he spray painted his tail, and then he tried to beat us back here so that he could get rid of the evidence.
Greg blinks, frowning.
Please tell me that's not true, Greg.
It was just a temporary solution until I could find the real Jinx.
As Dina paces, Pam steps forward.
How could you do something like that?
I'm sorry.
Now, what are you going to tell me next? That you said Kevin's altar on fire?
Greg's apologetic look makes her eyes bulge.
Oh, my God.
His lips tremble, searching for words.
Well, it wasn't intentional. I was chasing Jinx up onto the roof. I had a smoke, and I think I might have lit something that... I don't know what happened. He put so much goddamn lacquer on that thing. It was an accident waiting to happen.
This is very disappointing, Greg.
Dina shakes her head. Greg faces their frowns and sneers.
Get out of my house, fucker, and take your friend with you.
He shoves the cat into Greg's arms.
So you lied to me about everything, huh, Greg? You lied about the cat, about the fire, about the MCATs.
Didn't lie about the MCATs. Come on, Pam. Don't you see what's happening here? Your dad has totally turned you against me.
I didn't turn her against you, Greg. You did that to yourself.
Jack holds Pam. Greg holds the cat.
Jack, please. You didn't like me from the second I walked in here.
I'm a very accepting person, Fokker. All I ask for is honesty.
Oh, honesty?
Greg puts down the cat.
You want to talk about truth and honesty, Jack? Okay, let's talk a little truth and honesty. Let's talk a little Operation Kusumui. Jack?
Was he talking about that?
Yeah, that's weird, because I thought there weren't any secrets inside the Circle of Trust, Jack.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't? Huh? What's the matter, cat? Got your tongue? Hey, Pam, guess what? Daddy's planning a little covert operation in Thailand for the day after the wedding. Do you know that?
You are?
Jack shrugs and grimaces.
Round and round we go, Jack. Hey, I bet everybody would love to hear about your little rendezvous in the parking lot of the Oyster Bay Drug and Sundry. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Where the guy gave you the passports and the documents? Or how about your little phone call in Thai?
Jack can't talk Thai.
Oh, no, Dina, Jack can talk Thai. Jack talk Thai very well. I'm sorry, Pam, but your dad is not retired. He's still very much in the CIA.
Pam gapes.
Daddy.
Jack nods sadly.
What?
He's right. My cover's blown. I am planning a secret operation the day after the wedding.
What?
A surprise honeymoon for Deb and Bob. You stupid son of a bitch. You just blew it.
What?
Koh Samui's an island off the coast of Thailand. That guy I was meeting in the parking lot is Thor Svensson, my travel agent. He was giving me their visas.
The women beam. Bob grins.
Wow, Thailand. Thanks a lot, JB.
Don't mention it.
You know, if this nursing thing doesn't work out, fucker, I'd say you definitely have a career in espionage.
Bob snickers. Pam gazes downward.
Thanks, Greg.
Jack steps aside, leaving an easy path to the door. Everyone glares at Greg as he steps from the den. Outside, he walks toward the driveway, fumbling in his pocket for his key ring. He turns as Pam comes out and takes a few steps after him. As she stops, Greg shrugs.
Well, I guess I'm gonna go to the airport now.
Pam tucks her hair behind her ear and bows her head.
I guess you're gonna stay here?
She looks at Greg with pained eyes. As Pam starts to speak, her father approaches. Jack puts his arm around her and glares at Greg. The rest of the family comes out of the house and gathers on the front steps behind Pam and Jack. Greg watches Jack give his daughter an assuring hug, then turns away. As Greg opens his car door, the glow of headlights pass over him. An Atlantic American airline van stops in the driveway. The family watches from the steps as the driver gets out with Greg's suitcase.
Gaylord M. Faulker?
Gaylord?
Yeah, that's me.
Jack squints quizzically.
I thought your name was Greg.
It is.
That's not what it says on the phone.
I know. It's my legal name. Nobody's called me by it since I was in third grade.
Jack studies his daughter's sad face as Greg takes his bag to the car. Denny snickers.
Wait. So your name's Gay Faulker?
Greg nods. As Pam glares at Denny, Jack shakes his head reprovingly.
I'm sorry. It's not a normal name, you know?
As Greg gets in his car, the family heads inside. Denny, Larry, and Bob cover their mouths, shielding their laughter. Later, Pam lies on her bed holding a teddy bear to her chest. She wipes her nose with the bear's ear and stares ahead despondently. Her gaze turns to a pink phone on the nightstand and she picks it up. Now, at the airport, Greg stands before a ticket agent. As the agent types speedily on her computer, Greg drums his fingers on the counter.
There is room.
Greg stares wearily at the agent and furrows his brow at her swift fingers.
And without a Saturday stay over, that fare difference will be $1,137.11.
Greg shakes his head.
Did you want me to book you the seat?
Okay. All right.
Did you want to check any bags today?
Greg glares at her. Now, at the Burns house, a document prints from the fax machine. Pam reads it. It's a copy of Greg's MCAT scores. A handwritten message at the top reads, "Dear Pam, hope this helps. 97th percentile." At the airport, Greg shoves a sweater in his suitcase's front pocket, then pulls out a ring box. He opens it and stares at the diamond engagement ring inside. Back in the Burns trash den, Jack picks up a collapsible top hat. He pops it up and sticks his hand through a tear in the fabric. Dina steps in with her head cocked to one side. Jack drops the hat.
We should be all right with only one usher, don't you think?
I'm not so sure, Jack.
Dina sits down and levels her gaze on her husband. Pam enters with the facts.
Thought you might like to see this.
She hands it to Jack. As he takes his glasses from his jacket pocket, Pam looks on with her arms folded.
How did you get this?
Oh, I have my sources, too.
Jack purses his lips and hands the facts to Dina.
I called Gaylord, a.k.a. Greg's parents in Detroit. They saved his SAT scores, too, in case you're interested.
Oh, honey, that doesn't matter if he did well in some test. What does that prove? Look at this place. He almost destroyed the wedding because he lied.
Pam glares at him.
I love you, Daddy. But you can be a real jerk sometimes.
She storms off. Jack shakes his head under Dina's gaze.
So what if he took the MCATs? He's still not good enough for Pam.
Who is Jack? Nobody has ever been good enough for you, Pam.
Dina gives the facts back to Jack and heads for the door.
I mean, do you realize that you never even warmed up to Kevin until she broke up with him? Maybe it's time you think about what Pam wants.
Jack casts his gaze downward. Dina walks off, leaving Jack alone in the cluttered den. His eyes shift in thought and he works his jaw. Later, Pam sits on her bed with the phone to her ear.
Greg, it's me. I'm sure you're in the air by now, so I guess you'll just get this when you get home. Listen, I am so sorry. I acted like a complete idiot, and I hope that you can forgive me.
Jack overhears.
I mean, I don't care about the fire or the cat or... I mean, I can't believe you actually spray-painted a cat. It's actually really gross, but the point is that I understand why you did it, and I love you. I want you to know that I really love you, and so when you get this, will you please call me? Okay, bye.
Jack frowns as he watches his daughter. Now, in Jack's secret room, he talks on the phone.
Marty, listen, I need a commercial flight ID scan interstate from New York LaGuardia to Chicago. 4-hour sweeps, backwards and forwards. Last name, Foxtrot, Oscar, Charlie, Kilo, Echo, Romeo. First name, Golf, Alpha, Yankee, Lima.
Gaylord Fokker on Atlantic American Flight 27, departs 235.
235?
Affirmative.
23 minutes, thanks.
Now, at the airport.
Enjoy your flight,
then. Greg approaches the gate.
Hello.
The attendant examines his ticket.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're only boarding rows 9 and above right now. You'll have to wait.
Okay. I'm in row 8.
Please step aside, sir.
It's just one row. Don't you think it's okay if I...
We'll call your row momentarily. Step aside, sir.
Greg looks over his shoulder at the empty terminal, then back at the attendant. He takes a few steps back and sets down his suitcase. The flight attendant smiles, then levels her happy eyes on Greg. As he meets her gaze, she looks away. Greg furrows his brow. Now, the attendant calmly picks up a phone.
Thank you for waiting. We'd like to continue boarding the aircraft now. We're now boarding all rows, please. All remaining rows.
The happy attendant hangs up the phone. Greg looks around, then steps forward.
Hello.
He glares as she cheerfully checks his ticket.
Enjoy your flight.
Now, Jack swerves in his car across 3 lanes of traffic, then cuts in front of another car. A road sign ahead reads LaGuardia Airport. On the plane, Greg shoves his suitcase into an overhead compartment. Another passenger tries to push past him. Greg struggles with his bag and the passenger tries again to pass.
Okay, where's the fire, huh?
The pushy man raises his eyebrows at Greg, then takes a seat in front of him. The flight attendant approaches Greg.
I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to check that.
I got it.
No, I'm sorry. That bag won't fit.
I'm not checking my bag, okay?
Okay, there's no need to raise your voice, sir.
I'm not raising my voice. This would be raising my voice to you, okay? I don't want to check my bag, okay? And by the way, your airline, you suck at checking bags, okay? Because I already did that once and you lost it. And then I had everything screwed up very badly for me, okay?
Well, I can assure you that your bag will be placed safely below deck with the other luggage.
Oh, yeah? How do you know my bag will be safe below with the other luggage? Huh? Are you physically going to take my bag and put it beneath the plane? Are you going to go right now outside with the guys with the earmuffs and go put it in there?
No.
No? Okay. then shut your pie hole and listen to me when I say that I am finished with the checking of the bags conversation.
Sir, we have a policy on this airline that a bag is this large.
Okay, you know what?
Get your grubby little paws off of my bag, okay? It's not like I have a bomb in here. It's not like I want to blow up the plane.
Sir!
I just want to stow my bag according to your safety regulations.
Sir!
Hey,
sir!
If you would take a second and take a little sticks out of your head, clean out your ears, and maybe you would see that I'm a person who has feelings, and all I have to do is do what I want to do, and all I want to do is hold on to my bag and not listen to you. And that the only way that I would ever let go of my bag would be if you came over here right now and tried to pry it from my dead lifeless fingers, okay? If you can get it from my kung fu grip, then you can come and have it, okay? Otherwise, step off, bitch.
Now, security officers carry Greg back into the terminal. They drop him. Meanwhile, Jack pulls up to the airport and gets out. A police officer follows after him as he heads inside.
Hey, you can't leave your vehicle unattended.
Tow it.
Now with Greg.
I've got a plane full of people saying you threatened that stewardess.
I was not threatening her. I was just trying to get my bag into the overhead storage thing.
You were acting like a maniac, and you threatened her with a bomb.
No, I said I didn't have a bomb.
You said bomb.
I said it's not like I have a bomb.
You said bomb on an airplane.
What's wrong with saying bomb on an airplane?
You can't say bomb on an airplane.
Bomb, 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 bomb. You gonna arrest me?
You assaulted an airline employee.
What if I was in the military and I was a bombardier? Bomb, 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 bomb,
put you away for a few years.
Norm. Take five. I got a specialist here.
Bye, Norm.
The interrogator leaves Greg with his hands cuffed behind his back. Jack enters.
Oh, shit. How did you get here?
I'm everywhere, Fokker.
Jack uncuffs him.
I didn't do anything, Jack.
Yeah, I know.
Well, then tell these guys that I'm not a terrorist.
Listen, Fokker, I'm not going to tell anybody anything until you answer some questions. Unless you want to spend the next couple of years of your life in prison, you better goddamn well tell me the truth. No more lies, you understand? No more lies.
Did you do this?
Just answer the question.
Did you have me taken off of that airplane?
Just answer the question. Put your hands over there.
They sit facing each other.
Sick, you know that?
Greg lays his hands out, palms up. Jack holds Greg's wrists.
Is your name Gaylord Fokker, yes or no?
Yes.
Are you a male nurse?
Yes.
Are you a pothead?
No.
Have you ever smoked pot?
Yes.
Did you spray paint the tail of a cat to pass him off as Mr. Jinx?
Yes.
And did you do that because you desperately were seeking my approval?
Yes.
Because you love my daughter Pam?
Yes.
Do you want to marry her? Do you want to marry her?
Greg bows his head.
I did. Till I met you.
What does that mean?
I love your daughter, Jack. I love her more than anything. But frankly, sir, I'm a little terrified of being your son-in-law. This whole weekend has given me a lot of doubts about whether or not I could even survive in your family.
They both look at Jack's hands gripping Greg's wrists.
I think you've got some serious issues.
If I lighten up, would you consider marrying my daughter?
Would you lighten up a lot?
Greg pulls his hands free.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Would you let me and Pam live our lives and not interfere all the time?
I promise not to interfere in your lives all the time.
Will you stop making fun of me for being a nurse?
Could you at least try maybe to consider another profession?
Jack, yes or no?
Ever?
No.
Okay, yes.
Would you let me and Pam sleep in the same room?
Don't push it, Fokker. You're in a real mess.
Jack takes Greg's wrists again.
If you married my daughter, would you support her in the way that she deserves to be supported?
Yes.
Would you be honest and faithful to her?
Yes.
Will you devote yourself entirely to her for the rest of your life?
Of course.
Gaylord Fokker?
Jack takes the ring box from his pocket.
Will you be my son-in-law?
A smile spreads across Jack's face. Now, Pam sleeps in her bed. Greg enters with four bouquets of bright flowers. He flicks on a lamp and sits on the edge of the bed. Pam stirs slightly, and Greg gently kisses her cheek. She opens her eyes.
Greg? I thought you were going back to Chicago.
Yeah, well, we had a little plane trouble. Plus, your dad caught up with me at the airport.
Her brow furrows.
No, don't worry. It's okay. We worked out a lot of our issues.
You and my dad worked out a lot of your issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first he gave me his little human lie detector thing, but I passed.
Good.
Yeah. And then he proposed.
You feeling all right?
Listen, this weekend was a nightmare. I had this whole elaborate plan, and then somewhere between giving your sister a black eye and setting the house on fire, I kind of went off track. I love you. I love you so much.
In her bedroom, Dina listens through the vent.
I think he's about to do it, Jack.
Oh, come on, honey. Give him some privacy.
And I think that if we can get through what we got through in the last 48 hours, we could get through anything.
I think so, too. And Greg, I don't...
Wait, hang on a second.
Mr. Jinx.
Meow, 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 meow.
Mr. Jinx hops onto the bed wearing the ring bearer pillow and neckband. Pam sees the gold ring tied onto the pillow.
What's a ring?
I like to think of it as a little circle of trust. Pam, will you marry me?
Yes.
They embrace.
Yes.
She kisses him. Dina.
Atta boy, Greg.
That circle of trust thing, that's mine.
Dina gets into bed with Jack and kisses his cheek.
Well, looks like we got another wedding to plan.
Yep. Just gotta do one more thing.
What's that?
Meet his parents.
Dina frowns.
Jack.
Honey, relax. I'm sure they're wonderful, fascinating people.
Good night, Jack.
They each turn off a bedside lamp and lie beside one another. As Dina relaxes, Jack's eyes stay open.
I mean, they'd have to be, right? To name their son Gaylord Fokker.
Now at the wedding, Greg sits between Dina and Jack holding their hands.
Do you, Deborah Burns, take Robert Banks to be your lawfully wedded husband?
Yes, I mean, I do.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Pam and Kevin watch from either side of the charred altar as Bob kisses his new bride. Flowers decorate the burnt structure. As the newlyweds walk down the aisle, Greg shakes Jack's hand. Later, in the den, Jack holds Mr. Jinx.
Let's just see if you really can flush the toilet, Jinxie.
Jack pops a tape into the VCR. On the screen, the video shows Greg wake up and check his bedside clock. It reads 5:18. Jack settles into a chair with the VCR remote and Mr. Jinx. In the video, Greg gets out of the sofa bed and enters the bathroom. He flips on the light and lifts the toilet seat. Jack leans forward in his chair and fast forwards the tape.
I knew it.
Greg jiggles the handle.
Shit. I knew it.
Jack fast forwards the tape. In fast motion, Greg removes the toilet tank lid and fiddles inside, then shoves a towel into the tank. Jack nods.
That's my future son-in-law. What do you think?
Now, the video shows
Hello,
Greg's
Jack.
Face.
Oh, look at that. Nice Jack. Hi. What's that, Jack? What? You big bad CIA man, huh? You big ass? They teach you that in the CIA?
He does a karate chop.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's that, Jack? What? Yeah, you thought Puff was just the name of the boy's magical dragon? Uh-huh. Not too quick on the uptake, huh, Jack? Why don't you ask Denny who's puffing the magic dragon? Not onto that one, huh? Surprising for a big CIA pulse detector. Ooh, hey, check my pulse on this question, Jack. Do I think you're a psycho? Yes. What? Oh, you like my little gift? What? The Jerusalem what? Why, I can't hear Jerusalem tulipoozy poozly loo. What? What? Oh, you don't know shit about flowers. What's that? You want me to what? You have another question? Sure, I got one question for you. It's, can you deal with that?
Remaining opening credits. Casting by Ellen Chenoweth. Music supervisor Randall Poster. Costume designer Daniel Orlandi. Edited by John Pohl. Production designer Rusty Smith. Director of photography Peter James, ACS, ASC. Co-producers Amy Sayers and Shauna Weinberg. Produced by Nancy Tenenbaum, Jay Roach, Jane Rosenthal, Robert De Niro. Story by Greg Liena and Mary Ruth Clark. Screenplay by Jim Hirschfeld and John Hamburg. Directed by Jay Roach. This film has been described by Descriptive Video Service, a division of the Media Access Group at WGBH, with funding by the U.S. Department of Education. Described by Justin Soule, Christopher Flowers, Dutch Priest, and Carrie Danahy. Read by Pat Lentz. For more about DVS, call 1-800-333-1203 or visit our website at dvs.wgbh.org. Credits roll. Production manager, Lenny Bulo. First assistant director, Richard Cowan. Second assistant director, Amy Lauritsen. Film editor, Greg Hayden. Cast, Robert De Niro as Jack Burns. Ben Stiller as Greg Fokker. Terry Polo as Pam Burns. Blythe Danner as Dina Burns. Nicole DeHuff as Debbie Burns. John Abrahams as Denny Burns. Owen Wilson as Kevin Raleigh. James Rebhorn as Larry Banks. Tom McCarthy as Bob Banks. Phyllis George as Linda Banks. Callie Rocha as flight attendant. Bernie Schiretti as Norm the Interrogator. Judah Friedlander as pharmacy clerk. Peter Bartlett as animal shelter worker. John Elson as Chicago airport security. Mark Hammer as hospital patient. Amy Hone as ticket agent. William Severs as Father O'Boyle. John Fiore as Kinky. Marilyn Dobrin as lost luggage clerk. Marcy Reed as traveler. Frank Santorelli as courier. Russell Hornsby as late night courier. Patricia Cook as little girl. Little boys, Cody Ahrens, Cole Hawkins, Spencer Breslin. Ina Rosenthal as wedding worker, Kim Rideout as nurse, Krezimir Novakovic as airport policeman, John Joseph Gallagher and G.A. Aguilar as cops, Lynn Ann Castle as security guard, G.A. Aguilar as stunt coordinator, stunt players, William Anagnos, Blaise Corrigan, Doug Crosby, Peter Epstein, Tony Guida, Stephen Pope, art director John Casarda, set decorator Karen Weisel, assistant set decorator Christina Tonkin, property master Tom Allen, assistant property masters Eric Chiripka and L. Edgeworth, assistant art directors David Stein, Hyunju Kim, Adam M. Scher, art department coordinator Allison Wellens, lead man Christopher S. Nelson, set dressers Chris Ferraro, Jeffrey S. Rollins, Judy Gurr, Gary Levitsky, Alan Muzeni, Rick Nelson, Raymond C. Pollock, A camera operator Bruce McCallum, B camera operator Andrew Casey, first assistant A camera Eric Swanick, first assistant B camera Robert Mancuso, second assistant A camera Michael Cambria, second assistant B camera Raymond Collins, camera loader Cesar S. Carnaval, still photographer Philip V. Caruso, second assistant director Jennifer Truelove, additional second assistant director Deanna Leslie, casting associate Susie Farris, sound mixer Todd A. Maitland, boom operator Mike Scott, boom operator cableman Frank J. Graziade, assistant costume designer John Glazer, wardrobe supervisors Joanna Brett and Donna Maloney, costumers Patty Iben, Benjamin Wilson, David Davenport, Mr. De Niro's hair and makeup, Ilona Herman, Mr. De Niro's costumer, Marcy Olivi, Mr. Stiller's hairstylist, Victor De Nicola Jr., Mr. Stiller's makeup artist, Carla White, key hairstylist John D. Qualia, key makeup artist Michael Bigger, hairstylist Jacqueline Payne, makeup artist Linda Malo, Rita Ogden, key grip Thomas J. Prate, best boy grip Kenneth J. Burke, dolly grip Ronald J. Burke, grips James Edmiston, Andrew Chung, Kevin W. Flynn, Joshua Weingard, gaffer Morris Flam, best boy electrician William Almeida, lamp operators Tom Shin, Philip DiTesta, Mark Van Rossen, Francis V. Leach, generator operators Ralph Crowley and Jamie E. Gallagher, rigging key grip Jack Panuccio, best boy rigging grip Robert Prate, rigging grips Stephen A. Blaho, Richard Yakuk, Don Zappia, rigging gaffer Clay Liversidge, rigging best boy electrician Gary Hildebrand, rigging lamp operators Nicholas Kupkovic, Sean Gilbert, John Gilgar, Amy M. Kupferberg, Todd B. Lichtenstein, Michael R. Rudolph, Lance E. Fox, script supervisor Ava Z. Cabrera, production coordinator Kate Kelly, assistant production coordinator Juliet Danibal, production secretary Valentina Alisi, video assist playback Kevin McKenna, 24-frame playback Niels Johnson, post-production supervisor Lisa Rogers, first assistant editor Curtis Crony, assistant editor Elizabeth Schmidt, assistant editors New York Kent Blocker, Christopher Marcoux, Carrie Puchkoff, supervising sound editor George Anderson, supervising ADR editor Renee Tondelli, MPSE, music editor Bruno Kuhn, publicist Julie Kundorf, DGA trainer Dominic Scarola, office production assistants Ryan McCormick, Tony Hernandez, set production assistants Bethann Scabeche, Cynthia Bauer, Laura A. Wheeler, art department production assistant Alita K. Schaffer, Ms. Tannenbaum's assistant Paul Roeder, Mr. Roach's assistant Scott M. Murray, Ms. Rothenthal's assistant Elise Klates and Andre Solmers, Ms. Weinberg's assistant Gina Marscacci, Ms. Sayer's assistant Tracy G. Mitchell, Mr. De Niro's assistants Robin Chambers, Brenda Ventura, Jennifer Nixon, Michael Ferrara, Mr. Stiller's assistants Maria Williams and Edith Hagigi, Mr. Newman's assistant Jenny Kane, accountant Tamara Bally, first assistant accountant Judy Sarton Pursley, second assistant accountant Steve Ginsburg, payroll accountant Susan Silas, construction accountant Jason Farrar, accounting clerk Greg Outcault, post-production accountant James O. Mall, special effects coordinator Jonathan C. Brotherhood, special effects foreman Deed Rossiter, animals provided by Birds and Animals Unlimited, key animal trainer Don M. Barkin, animal trainer Robert Scott Schweitzer, location manager Jeff Flock, assistant location manager Carrie DePalma, location assistants Brian Cantaldi, Ann Carogni, Daniel Riccio Jr., construction coordinator Kenneth D. Nelson, construction foreman Stephen E. Lawler, shop foreman John R. Johnston, scenic artist Robert Topol and M. Tony Trotta, scenic foreman Bill Riley, greensperson Amy Safhay, CIA consultant Milt Bearden, vocal consultant Michael Danziger, choreographer Julie Arenal, transportation captain Edward O'Donnell, transportation co-captain Maurice Fitzgerald, Mr. De Niro's driver Rocco Curatolo, Mr. Stiller's driver Herb Lieberts, Ms. Rosenthal's driver Kevin Harrington, Mr. Roach's driver Thomas R. McGoldrick, extras casting by Grant Wilfley, set medic Oren Fazone, location projectionist Edmund Nardone, catering by Tomcats Dirk Long, craft service Solange G. Monnier, Saskia Safran Viner, second unit director Marco Schnabel, second unit director of photography Tom Houghton, dialogue editors Kim Drummond, David Yamarko, SFX editors Dennis Drummond, Cindy Marty, Michael Haight, Foley editor Jonathan Klein, assistant sound editors James Morioka, Joe Schiff, assistant ADR editor Galen Goodspaster, ADR mixers Doc Kane, Paul Zeidel, David Bolton, ADR recordist Jeanette Browning, Foley artist Andy Malcolm, Goro Koyama, Foley recordist Ron Melliger's Don White, re-recording mixers Andy Koyama, Jonathan Wales, re-recording services by Universal Studios Sound Facility, recordist Bill Meadows, Joe DeAngelis, score orchestrations by Jonathan Sachs, Don Davis, and Randy Newman, music recorded and mixed by Frank Wolf, music coordinator Brenda Hines, music consultants Jim Dunbar, Mark Cross, music contractor Sandy DeCrescent, vocal contractor Luana Jackman, music preparation by Joanne Kane Music Service, music recorded at the Fox Newman Scoring Stage, additional recording at Conway Recording Studios, music mixed at Signet Sound Studios, ADR voices Mitch Carter, Elisa Gabrielli, Wendy Cutler, Christina McGregor, Brian Byers, Robert Clotworthy, David Cowgill, Natalie Alexander, Bridget Hoffman, Ruben Sade, Newell Alexander, Ike Eisenman. Titles and opticals by Custom Film Effects. Negative cutter, Gary Burritt. Color timer, Denny McNeil. Visual effects by Pacific Vision Productions, Inc. Visual effects supervisor, David D. Johnson. Soundtrack album on DreamWorks Records. A Fool in Love. Music and lyrics by Randy Newman. Opening title performed by Randy Newman. End title duet performed by Randy Newman and Susanna Hoffs and produced by Mitchell Froom. Randy Newman appears courtesy of DreamWorks Records. Yaya, written by Morris Levy, Clarence Lewis, and Lee Dorsey, performed by Lee Dorsey, courtesy of Arista Records, Incorporated. Tiny Bubbles, written by Leon Pober, performed by the Waikiki Community Singers, courtesy of Criterion Music Corporation. Puff the Magic Dragon, written by Peter Yarrow and Lenny Lipton, performed by Peter Paul and Mary, courtesy of Warner Brothers Records Incorporated, by arrangement with Warner Special Products. Day by Day, written by Stephen Schwartz. Donkishen, written by Bert Kempfert, Milt Gabler, and Kurt Schwabach, performed by Wayne Newton, courtesy of Capitol Records, under license from EMI Capitol Music Special Markets. What's New Pussycat, written by Burt Bacharach, Hal David. Shadowboxa, written by and performed by Pete Stringfellow and Jason Belts, courtesy of Mark Ferrari, Master Source. Poor Me, written by Antoine Fats Domino and Dave Bartholomew, performed by Randy Newman, Randy Newman appears courtesy of DreamWorks Records. California Girls, written by Brian Wilson and Mike Love, performed by the Beach Boys, courtesy of Capitol Records under license from EMI Capitol Music Special Markets. Wipeout, written by Patrick Connolly, Robert Berryhill, James Fuller, and Ron Wilson, performed by the Safaris, courtesy of MCA Records under license from Universal Music Enterprises. Got My Mojo Working, written by Preston Foster, performed by Randy Newman. Randy Newman appears courtesy of DreamWorks Records. Big Chief, written by Earl King, performed by Dr. John, courtesy of Atco Records by arrangement with Warner Special Products. I'm Your Puppet, written by Linda Oldham and Dan Penn, performed by Bobby Womack. For Once in My Life, written by Orlando Murden and Ronald N. Miller, performed by Bobby Womack. Nanny Cam, courtesy of Nanny Cam Incorporated. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed. Scenes appearing to place animals in jeopardy were simulated. Filmed with Panavision cameras and lenses, color by Deluxe. Kodak Motion Picture Film, SDDS Sony Dynamic Digital Sound in selected theaters, Digital DTS Sound in selected theaters, Dolby Digital in selected theaters. Two logos, the Motion Picture Association of America emblem and the IATSE seal. This picture made under the jurisdiction of Yahtzee affiliated with AFL-CIO CLC. Copyright 2000 by Universal Studios and DreamWorks LLC, all rights reserved. Animated Universal Studios logo, copyright 1997 by Universal Studios. Country of first publication, United States of America. Universal Studios and DreamWorks LLC are the authors of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. A logo, DreamWorks SKG. This motion picture has been rated PG-13 by the Classification and Rating Administration. Parents strongly cautioned. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Another logo, MacroVision Quality Protection.